the correction of the minutes of it's minutes of the 3rd November 2011. The 3rd November 2011. Can I finish, Honorable Manish? Minutes. And then thirdly, we'll deal with the correspondence from the ministry. If you go back to your program, is it the January-March program? Yeah, we are supposed to deal with the Air Force. Now, unfortunately, we received the correspondence from the minister, but we can deal with that issue of the correspondence right at the end of the meeting. So we decided that what we should do is to finalize the program and correct the minutes of the committee. Honorable Manir.
Thank you, Chair. You mentioned that we'd received correspondence from the minister. I think we need some clarity right now, and not at the end of the meeting, why the meeting with the chief of the South African Air Force, General Carlo Gagliano, was cancelled. Was it cancelled as a result of the minister intervening, the Secretary of Defense intervening, or poor management at parliamentary level? I think we need some answers, and we need some answers now, Chair.
Yeah, honorable members, we have an agenda here, and we have the program of parliament. So we are going to follow the agenda. The issue of the adoption of minutes. Do you have copies of the minutes, honorable members? The issue that was raised by honorable on page 4. No, on page 5. Honorable Daniels, just above the resolution, just above 5, I mean above resolution, just that bullet point 5. That is the response. And then page 4 under proceedings, right at the bottom. The very last bullet. The committee views special pension and non-statutory force pension as two different processes. Not processes, as two different pensions. Does the Department of Finance link the two pension dispensations? what the response of the deputy minister is. Just above there. The deputy minister defined the following as being informed by legislation and stated that only parliament has the power to change them. One, submissions of applications and cut-off date for them. Two, this is page 5, comrades, right at the end, the last paragraph. Two, the qualifying age to receive special pension. And then three, taxation. He also stated that the application forms mirror the legislation, that the application forms have been produced in terms of the guidelines from the legislation, that the deputy minister confirmed that the non-statutory force pension and the special pension were linked. This is with respect to the issue that they wanted to address, the issue of redress. And then he further says, because they addressed exactly the same thing, that is the situation of the non-statutory forces. And then he says, furthermore, the amendment for the current year was meant to address that so that members would not have to choose one pension over the other. And then he says the two pensions were aligned. That is the response from the minister. So, therefore, honorable members, this corrects the minutes as honorable Daniels has indicated. Any proposer? Daniel?
I move. Good to see you, Atop Teacher.
Thank you. Any seconder?
That's a correction. I want something for sure. My apology was submitted, but I don't see it reflected on the minutes. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Well, yes. Are we not dealing with that? Yeah. Okay.
You'll be noted. You'll make the necessary amendments. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. So, Honorable Members, we will... Honorable Members, we will quickly deal with the with the program. We have the January to March program. This is the first quarter program that we have, that we are done with. Hello, honorable member. What? Oh, the agenda. Yeah, it's adoption of program and then the minutes and then correspondence. So we started with the minutes. We are done with the minutes. We have adopted, and then from there we are dealing straight with the agenda now. I mean, we are dealing with the program now. Sorry. So, honorable members, I'm saying the January-March program is the program that we adopted a long time ago, the one that enabled us to have these meetings. So we indicated to members that members must make submissions of issues that have to be included, and fortunately we were able to receive all those issues with the co-chairperson, and we have been able to filter them through. Our copies are not yet here. We are running short of copies of April to June. April to June. Secretary, we don't have April to June here. Are they still coming? Can you talk to them from the printing to make them available quickly? Okay, in the meanwhile, Honorable members, can we deal with the correspondence from the minister? We received correspondence from the minister about the...
Chair, I've got my hand up.
The postponement of the meeting. You are noted. I will try to make copies to all honorable members of the letter that I received from the minister requesting to brief the committee. Where is my letter now? Dennis Bloom was here, you know. Oh, here's my letter. I've got the letter in front of me. This is how the letter reads, honorable members. Co-chairperson Smake and Munzitzi, Joint Standing Committee on Defense, dated the 5th of March 2012, says, request for a briefing, South African Air Force. I refer you to your letter of the 2nd March 2012, requesting a briefing by the Chief of the South African Air Force on various challenges facing the Air Force. Section 1998 of the Constitution, this Constitution, 1996, requires that oversight of security services should be done in a manner determined by national legislation or rules and orders of Parliament. Here are the rules of Parliament. Because the information required might be classified, I would therefore require that you urgently provide me with the necessary legislative framework that would ensure the protection of the information being made available to the Joint Standing Committee on Defense, so that I may authorize the South African Air Force to brief yourselves. Without this framework, the Air Force would be in breach of the Constitution and the Defense Act and unable to brief the committee. The challenges facing the South African Air Force are very important, and I require them to brief the Joint Standing Committee on Defense on this, as well as its financial implications at the earliest opportunity. The Air Force requires Parliament support, and I therefore urgently need the Joint Standing Committee to provide me with the necessary assurance of information security so that the South African Air Force can brief joint. In addition to the briefing by the South African Air Force, the South African National Defense Force has a number of matters and of operational nature that are reaching a critical stage, which they need to brief joint on. I therefore appeal to you to ensure that the Joint Standing Committee of Defense is legally compliant so that the SANDF can brief this committee. Signed, Honorable Minister Sisulu, and then CC to General of the SANDF Shoke, and to the Secretary of Defense Kulube. Honorable members, what the minister is saying is that she wishes to brief a joint standing committee on a number of issues pertaining to operations of the South African National Defense Force. And then secondly, also on the request that we have made of the South African Air Force. But she has indicated that the information is classified is of a very sensitive nature. So once you have information that is classified that is of a sensitive nature, we know how to deal with this information in joint. You remember, honorable members, the last time we had information about the piracy situation, the Indian Ocean, right up to the borders, to the waters of Mozambique and the Horn of Africa, about the piracy. So part of the information was classified, and we were able to receive that information under controlled environment. So with respect to this particular input by the minister, Joint still insists that we need to receive that information. And fortunately, the minister is also saying she's prepared to give us that information. And she's asking for advice from the committee and also support from Parliament to be able to brief Joint. So I have a proposal to make, honorable members. There are rules of Parliament. Joint Rules, page 27. Rule 47 about meetings of joint. There is subsection B. Okay, so from subsection A, it talks about applications that can be made by the committee in order to have a meeting under a controlled environment, which means in essence we can apply for a closed meeting. So once we apply for the closed meeting, we don't have a problem. The SANDF can be able to come and brief us. Fully, we can ask questions and be able to understand those operational matters. And then secondly, we can also be able to receive information from the South African Air Force with respect to all questions that we would like to have clarified. Therefore, I wish to make this proposal to the committee that the joint chairperson write a letter to Parliament to ask for a closed meeting. And as soon as they give us a slot, we'll be able to call that meeting and proceed. That is my proposal, honorable members. I don't know if I have any second on that. Hello, honorable Ben. Thank you. Honorable Minier, you support?
Chairperson, we strongly oppose your proposal.
Okay, thank you.
The I'm not finished, Chair.
No. If you oppose, right now I'm calling for responses to what I have said.
Well, I'd like to motivate why I'm proposing, and
suggest we are not yet there.
You, sir, are in breach of the Constitution, the law, and probably the
we
laws
are not
of
yet
Parliament.
There. We are not yet there. We will engage on that issue. Honorable Ben Fisher is seconding the proposal of the chairperson. Now I want any seconder to okay, I propose Honorable Ben seconds. And then I suppose the House adopts that. Thank you. Now, if there's any member who wants to say something about this issue, you are free, Honorable Member. What did you want to say?
Chair, the Constitution is very clear. The National Assembly must conduct its business in an open and transparent manner unless it is reasonable and justifiable not to do so. Now, the question is, when is it reasonable and justifiable to close a meeting of the Joint Standing Committee on Defence? Surely, sir, the onus is on the Minister to show that the information that we require is in fact classified, that it is a requirement of, and that in disclosing the information, an operation of the Defence Force would be prejudiced or the life of a serving member would be endangered. Unless the Minister can show that, there is no reason, in my view, to close a meeting of this committee. And I would suggest, Chair, that in taking the action you have taken, you yourself as chairperson may be in breach of the Constitution and the law and the rules of Parliament. So what I would suggest, Chair, is that we take a legal opinion from Parliament's law advisers on the contents of the Minister's letter and also advice on...
Can you make a proposal?
I'm making a proposal.
Yeah.
I am proposing that we take a legal opinion from Parliament's law advisers.
Thank you.
Chair, I'm not finished. I'd like to continue. I'm proposing that we take a legal opinion on the contents of the Minister's letter and her proposal, and also on the circumstances in which it would be justified in a constitutional democracy like South Africa to close a meeting of the Joint Standing Committee on Defence.
Thank you.
Chair, I'm not finished.
No. Look, Chief, we don't have time, really. We don't have time. So we've heard what your proposal says.
This is a matter of national importance, Chair.
All matters that we deal with here are matters of national importance, not only this one. Honorable members, there's another proposal that there must be a legal opinion on the letter and that whether we should check with the legal state law advisors about the justifiability of the closing of the meeting. Is there any proposal on this? Honorable Matile?
Chair, you see, the problem we are faced with, and this I must indicate I've raised when we are dealing with the information bill, that people are reading the Constitution selectively. They're not reading the Constitution properly. Because Section 32 of the Constitution says there's a right to information. But Section 36 says there's limitations to that. You see? Now, that's exactly what the DA is trying to do always. And I think it is wrong. You see? Because there is limitation in terms of what you have actually proposed and what was adopted by this particular committee. You see? They want to expose the situation of this particular country to the international community, to the broader foreign, and which I think is wrong, you see, because they don't show the patronage of them being part of this particular country.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Matile. What I want is anybody who seconds the proposal that Honorable Manier has put to the table. Any seconder? No seconder. Do you second? We have got two proposals. One from the chairperson to say we should make an application. The other one from Honorable Manier to say no application. What we do is to look for state law advisors' advice. Do we have consensus that we will write a letter and not subject this to a vote? Honorable Maine.
Thank you very much, sir. Inasmuch as we are Russian Chairperson, but maybe it will be very important that we assist the Honorable Member, Honorable Maine. But because of time constraints, I must just say that we are not running a banana republic, in addition to what has been said by Honorable Matilda. But if we had time, we would further elaborate, because the contents of the letter of the minister suffice for the committee. The majority of the members of this committee are convinced that it is in the best interest of our country that we, as the chairperson proposed, have a meeting in that particular week. I don't think we want to vote because they know, because he says we. He's a spokesperson of some people. They know that if you were to vote, it would be an embarrassment for them. So the majority of these members are saying, let's apply for a closed meeting. And that's where the point must end. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, honorable members, I'll make a ruling on this issue. And I advise any aggrieved party to take it up with the speaker, because under parliamentary rules, the speaker will be able to respond to any problem that any other member has got with the ruling of the committee. So I rule that we write an application to the presiding officers about the closed meeting, and that indicate also within that correspondence, it should be accompanied by the letter from the minister, and that the committee also is sensitive to the issues and sympathetic to the issues that the minister has raised. But nevertheless, the committee says they do wish to have that particular briefing from the ministry, although under controlled environment. Thanks for your support, honorable members. Can we get to another issue, honorable member? I'll close this issue unless if you're talking on another issue. Go on, honorable Mani.
Chair, just for clarification, this committee has been briefed by the Chief of the Air Force on the question of transformation in the South African Air Force. That meeting was conducted in an open environment because the information was not classified.
That's right.
We, as a committee, asked for a follow-up briefing. The Honorable Daniels asked for a follow-up briefing because there were unresolved issues and there were follow-up questions that the Honorable Daniel was keen to get answers for. But that information is now, according to the minister, classified. Can you explain what has happened between the Chief of the Air Force's last briefing and the follow-up briefing? Why is that information now suddenly classified? And are you happy that that information is now classified? On what basis is it now classified, Chair?
Honorable members, we have deliberated on this issue, and let's not question the information that we have received until such time that we get the opportunity where the minister will be present, the chief of the SANDF will be present, and the chief of the Air Force will be present. These chiefs are still going to come to us in terms of the programs. We can ask them as many questions as we want. We are not restricting ourselves as a committee. Whatever information that we need that the ministry should respond to, the minister will respond to. There won't be restrictions on the committee. But in terms of the sensitivity of the information to the public out there, we understand. Honorable Daniels, we're continuing now.
No, Chair, I just want to put things into perspective.
Okay.
That in the first place, it is this committee myself included, that requested that information that was not in the presentation. It is why, therefore, the minister has voiced that that information is sensitive and therefore allowed by rules of parliament, we must request a closed meeting. The Honorable Menier came later in the meeting. He was not even there when we wanted that information from the Chief of the Air Force. So it must not be seen as if we're trying to hide something. As this committee and being representative of the masses of the people out there, we want that information. And we will get that information in the right time and in the right manner. Thank you, Chair.
When the Chief of the Air Force was briefing us, at that stage, Honorable Manir was not there. So probably the information is new to him. We are not sure, but the committee was briefed by the Chief of the Air Force. Nevertheless, he will get the opportunity again. Honorable members, we really have to move now because we are dealing with the program.
Chair,
Honorable Ben.
Chair, just on a point of order. Chair, I think let us make an explanation of what classification is. Now, we require information as a committee. And the Honorable Manero requires information as a committee. And the minister says, unless we, it's a closed committee. Right? Now, which means, therefore, that we still are going to get that information. What more does he want? Because we are saying it's a classified information. In fact, it's a leeway that we're being given on the classified information. Otherwise, he can say, no, you can't get it. It's top secret information. You can't get it. Sorry. It's too sensitive. It can embarrass government of the country, then what more does he want? Because we are going to get that information. Whom does he want to get the information than himself?
Okay, thank you. Honorable members, please, I've closed this issue. Honorable Manir, I've closed this issue. Can we get to the
just
program?
Just on a point of order. Jake, could we have copies of the letter, please?
Yes, you'll get copies of the letter. Honorable member. April, June. Do you have April, June program? Program. Honorable members, we're dealing with the program. April, June, do you have copies? Oh, okay. Now we did April June in the past last week some time ago. April 26, we did that. It is the review. And then 3 April. This is 3 May. 3 May. That's the workshop with the review. And then 10 May, and then we deliberate on recommendations. And then 17 May, we had anticipated that by that time we would have undertaken an oversight trip to the bases and that we will be January one. Yeah, my January copy. You are taking my copy,
no.
Secretary. Why do you take my copy? Dennis Bloom was here, things disappear, now it's you. No, 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 I can't go on like this. Meneer, you see what these people are doing to me now.
Chair, I thought I would just note that in the...
Don't bring your copies to me.
In the first term of
take your
the January to March program, the committee met 4 of the 5 times to discuss the program. I thought by now we would have dealt with it.
And then you have your 24 May, your June, and then your 21st June. So the report that we have to consider, it cannot be on the 17th of May, because the trip to the bases will be during the period of June. Secretary, you'll have to put the dates on this June. And then from there, this will be the consideration of the report from the basis. That is April, June. The basis that we have identified, we spoke of Langebaan, we spoke of Littleton, we spoke of the Air Force Base in Devon, we spoke of Makado, and we spoke of Waterkloof. And then which is the sixth one? Nombeko, you always sing the bases. You've forgotten the sixth one. Those are the bases, honorable members, that we are supposed to play over time. And the objectives are very clear with respect to the issues that we are going to deal with. We are going to the school, language of instruction, investigate transformation, training program for the historically disadvantaged, progress made by those combatants. Those are all the issues that we are going to do. Like we said, the Air Force is behind with matters of transformation. No, that's not secret. That's open. And then let's go to July, September, honorable members. Study tour to the neighboring countries. All these bases to boost the morale and so on, to check the well-being and so on, for facilities and proper protective gear and measures for the forces out there. Some of them are in very hostile countries. So just to ensure their well-being, to give them support, boost their morale, and so on and so on. Now, what our secretary has done was to omit the U.S. and the U.S. and the Vietnam tour. Before the end of the day, she will put that as an amendment. And then 2 August. We've indicated that on the 2nd of August, we are going to be requiring 5 days So the secretary again has not factored this issue. We looked for 5 days to investigate the presence of effective SANDF border control. This will be the eastern part of the country, along the borders of Swaziland, Mozambique, Limpopo, Mpumalanga. And then for the next round, we'll be getting to another area of Honorable Minister.
Chair, I'm sorry to interrupt. Thank you. We have just received the letter from the Minister dated the 5th of March.
No. We are not dealing with the letter from the Minister.
Chair, this letter is a response to your letter of the 2nd of March. I wonder if we could have a copy of that letter.
Yeah, it's fine.
Thank you.
Hello, Chief.
Chair, Honorable Meneer must respect us, Chair. You don't just jump in anyhow and say whatever you want to say wherever in the meeting. Please, man, I think we must be honorable.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Meneer.
Sir.
Hello, Chief.
May I suggest that because in the term, in the second part of the program, the July to September one, it's like the secretary has not factored a number of issues that you are raising. I don't know why you're shaking your head.
No, I'm not shaking my head.
Okay. Well, I suggest that in future it must be done properly.
Okay, thank you. August 16. This is just a presentation. Those are the issues. Rejuvenation of the Reserve Force program. We know the Reserve Force and so on and so on. Those are the bullet points. And then 23 August, the phasing out of both the commandos and the service corps. Just to investigate the disarmament program that has taken place. Those people were armed and very dangerous. A decision was taken by cabinet to discontinue the commandos and service corps. Service corps have been incorporated within the South African National Defense Force. So the chief of the army, in the last briefing, he indicated that he'll come back and talk about the commandos. So we factored in the service corps because we want to ensure that from the next program, we no longer worry ourselves about the issue of the commandos and the corps. It must become a closed chapter. So it is the extent to which both these structures, whether there's progress on the closure on the structure. And then 30 August. Office of Equal Opportunities. They will present to us a program of action. This is about the transformation office that is responsible for women empowerment within the SANDF. In the Navy, women officers, whether they are in the Army and so on and so on. And also whether their commands are being adhered to by male officers. So it's still a process of transforming. Because some of the male officers, they look down on senior women officials. So you want to make sure that that particular type of transformation for women empowerment does take place within the SANDF. This Office of Equal Opportunity was meant by General Mudumi, one of the lady officers. Now it is meant by Lieutenant General Fakir, another lady officer. So all we have to do, honorable members, is to support them and ensure that there is transformation and there is respect for senior women officers. And we said that in this particular briefing, the chief of the Navy, of the SANDF, of the Army, and of some should be there. The secretary did not factor it in. With all these amendments, we hope the secretary will factor them in. And then we, on the 6th of September, this is the interim commission, but the secretary decided to write it in short. Why did you write it in short, secretary? This is the interim national commission. Okay. So we received the report about the commission and its work, the interim commission. They moved across the country and they looked at the bases, they looked at the conditions of living of members of the force, they looked at the salary structure, they looked at the exit mechanism and a lot of things. And then they made recommendations. So those recommendations, we have to be able to go and ensure that since the interim commission report, there has been an improvement in the quality of life of combatants in the bases. And then 13 September, we consider all the minutes of the committee. That is that one. And the last one, is the December one. Where is the December one? You have December. You don't have December. Honorable Manish?
Chair, just two things. I wonder if you could just ask the Secretary if we could again get your copy, a copy of your letter on the of the 2nd of March. I don't see anybody going to make copies of that letter. That's the first thing. The second thing, Chair, is I understood that this committee was going to have a strategic workshop. And at that strategic workshop, we would decide on the program for the year. I don't know on what basis we've formed this program, and I don't think that, frankly, there's any merit in continuing this meeting. This committee needs to have a proper meeting about the program, what our objectives are. We need a proper, structured way of getting inputs on the program, and then we need to approve the program.
Honorable Manir.
This is ANC Youth League levels of organization.
Chair, that's on a point of order. Can we just, you see, the problem was stated here is that we are not sure as to who outside these borders is he representing. And that's the first area. What is his interest in this particular country? You see. And these are the areas that this tendency that is being shown to us in all other areas is exactly what the display we have today. You see. And Chair, I would ask that you call him to order because he must respect you as chairperson here. You must call him to order. And that's the order I wanted to call for, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, honorable members, we know that the strategic workshop is on the January up to March issue, so let's not entertain that thing. It is there in the program. You still don't have October, December. You have. October, December. There are all these parastatals. We have DINEL that came to present, and we had AMSCO that came to present. So DINEL is 11 October, AMSCO is 18 October. And all those are the objectives. So, DINEL, it's possible for us to invite our colleagues, public enterprise, and it's possible for us, AMSCO, again, to jointly work with our other counterparts in the other committee. Now, DINEL manufactures weapons, and they service weapons and tanks and vehicles and trucks of the Defense Force. So we need to be able to ensure that that service continues and pick up on any challenges that they may have. This will be a follow-up on both DINEL and AMSCO. And then on the next page, 25 October, we have the CETA. The CETA is another parastatal that does work for the SANDF. And then you have also the 1st of November, the National Research Science Council. Now, all the technology that is being developed in a portion of the sector of the Research Council. All the innovations and so on, defense systems that they are coming up with for the country. And then you have the 22nd of November, briefing by the South African Maritime Defense, and so on and so on and so on. And then 29 and 6 December, we can be able to play around them. Whether we'll be visiting the bases or we'll be putting this period for other visits. And then from there, we are making a slot for the minutes and for the reports of the committee. This is about all, honorable members, on the program. But now, what I would like to say is that what we shall do is to ensure that the two things that have been left out of the program, the participation of the chiefs of the forces in the presentation of Lieutenant General Fakir, that should be factored, and then copies will be made available. And then the second thing that has been omitted is the trip to the U.S. and the Vietnamese. So we have agreed that the trip is going to take a period of 8 days. We'll spend 2 to 3 days in one country and move to another country. That would more or less make something like 8 to 10 days. So all those are going to be factored in the program as well. Those are the only omissions that the Secretary has made. A lot of other minor amendments and minor additions will also be made. But the most important session that we are supposed to have is the session on strategy, our strategic workshop. In the strategic workshop, it means we have to tie up and strengthen our program. For now, we want to make sure that it is submitted on time to the presiding officers. At least they must have a framework on which we are going to be able to work, so that they should be able to sanction our trips, they should be able to sanction our meetings. Without the program, we won't be able to get the venue for the meeting. So this constitutes a foundation for improvement when we arrive at the strategic working session. We have spoken to the chairperson of the portfolio committee, and we are keen on going to that retreat jointly so that we can be able to work together on strengthening both committees. Honorable Fisa and Honorable Mayor.
I propose adoption of the program with its amendment.
A proposal of adoption of program with amendments. Honorable.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm seconding the proposal of amendments.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Members. All those amendments will be factored through, and then copies will be put into the pigeonhole. Honorable Mani.
Thank you, Chair. Just 2 points. One of the inputs that I made was a request for a hearing into the South African Air Force's VIP squadron. I'd like to know how you factored that input into compiling this program, because I see that there's no hearing on the state of the VIP squadron in the South African Air Force. That's the first thing. The second thing is I move that we do not adopt the program on the basis that there was no proper consultation, and I do, Chair, intend to raise this matter with the Chair of Chairs. This program does not contain any inputs from the Democratic Alliance. Well, the Honourable Member sums it up. So what? If that is his attitude, I'm happy to take this further. Frankly, Chair, I'm not prepared to put up with the state of this committee. It is amateur hour.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Honorable Members, we have adopted this program with the understanding that when we arrive at the strategic workshop, we are going to be thorough on each and every aspect. So this is the framework that we will utilize. And thanks to members. Do we have a quorum? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You are 14, 15, so you have a quorum. The quorum is 13. Honorable Manir, all the issues that you wanted have been factored in the program. You remember that we are supposed to have had this meeting, which you suggested. So the minister has said we will have that meeting, but she needs help. So we are going to help the minister. We are going to have all those issues that you raised. The chief of the Air Force will be there. You can overnight write all the questions and make sure that I will chair the meeting. I will give you the chance to ask as many questions as you can to the chief about the squadrons, whether there's the 40 squadron, 20 squadron, 31 squadron, 100 squadron, all the squadrons. You'll have the chance to ask those questions. So nobody is going to suppress you. As the chairperson of this committee, I'll make sure nobody suppresses you and all your questions are answered. Honorable members, thanks for the adoption of the... Oh, by the way, there's a process for the adoption. What is the process? The process for adoption. We are done with the adoption. Okay. Thank you. Honorable member?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In the previous meeting, there was a long debate and discussion on whether the Thursday meeting time is suitable and effective and allow the committee to function properly, and there was a suggestion that you would go back and confirm with the chairs and so on. So I just wanted to know if we have any report back to enhance and strengthen this committee in terms of that, the Thursdays or any other alternative to move on, if there's a report back. Thank you.
Okay. Honourable member. Thank you very much.
Honorable Chair, just in terms of the program that you suggested, this draft program that has been adopted, if we're facing the same situation next year of a committee program that has to be submitted to the presiding officer in time, I think it should be scheduled that we have a strategic workshop at the end of the year so that we can plan for the year ahead instead of coming at the stage where we are forced to submit a committee program in order to comply. Otherwise, we still have a strategic workshop which can amend the program that has just been adopted today. So just in forward planning, if we can schedule that rather towards the end of the year for planning ahead or take a long-term view and plan over the next 2 years until the next general election so we know what we still need to cover. The other worry I have is that in terms of the letter, the correspondence received by the Honorable Minister Sisulu, and the issue of confidentiality and sensitivity of information. Is there any other program that is envisaged for the rest of the year that may entail such information from other public entities or from the ministry or from the Defence Force itself? Can those precautions be then considered timelessly so that we do not have postponement of scheduled meetings at that given time because of arrangements not being made timelessly? If that can be done and the framework is set, then I think we should not be repeating the same thing with this request for a legislative framework. The legislative framework has always been there. The issue is an application has to be made for a closed meeting. But otherwise, generally, our committees are extensions of Parliament, and the chair has the authority as the presiding officer of this committee to, of course, enforce the rules of Parliament the way it should be. And if there is an issue of discretion of something which is classified, the chair can decide to make it a closed meeting in camera and ask others to excuse from the meeting. So I just see in preparation for future meetings that we do not have any delays for scheduled meetings because of these complications. Thank you very much.
Okay, honorable members, what we do as the committee, we draft the program. So the minister follow track of committee work. And it comes to the attention of the minister that in the program there is a presentation that we require by the chief of the SANDF on certain issues. she picked those things in the program. So you are correct that when you say if we have a proper strategic workshop at the beginning of the year, and then we are able to flesh out all the issues for the year, and then once the ministry gets that type of program, which spreads out for the whole year, she'll be able to pick up all the issues that she would classify as sensitive. And then those meetings obviously would be attended timeously, unlike in this instance. In this instance, that particular meeting that is classified is supposed to take place today. So had we finalized our program quite earlier, this meeting would not have been suspended. So it was just a question of us having to ensure that we provide our own program timeously. So once we have done a program like this and we finalize our program in our strategic workshop, all the other issues that we have raised which might be controversial, the minister will be able to pick them up. Without the program, it will be a little bit difficult. But thanks again for the proposal that the earlier we come up with the strategic workshop, the better for the community. But the problem that we are still going to continue to have are the scheduling of our meetings. Our meetings, honorable members, are scheduled under Group D. Please don't forget, our meetings are scheduled under Group D. Group D is Friday. You hear me, honorable man? Group D is Friday. We call meetings Friday, 9 o'clock. Manir will come. And Honorable Fisher will come. And you might not be there on Friday. That's the problem we have with Friday. Friday is an ordinary working day, but we have a problem of a quorum on Friday. So they have accommodated us on this particular day. And we really wish to have to try and be early, you know. 8 o'clock we must start. 8 o'clock we must start. Thank you. Now, the strategic workshop that we spoke about, if honorable members can be able to make proposals, but otherwise, there are proposals that have been put into place, and this program can be subject to change depending if honorable members have got input. So it is on the first session of our program, the strategic workshop. So you got copies, honorable members? Okay, thank you. Honorable Manir?
Thanks, Chair. I'm embarrassed to raise this issue again. I don't see the Secretary taking any action to get us a copy of your letter dated the 2nd of March. And I see no prospect of us getting that letter before the end of this meeting. Chair, if you're serious about giving us a copy of that letter, would you instruct the Secretary to get a copy of the letter and make copies? Otherwise, it's not going to happen. On this workshop, Chair, I just wanted to confirm, is this the same, this workshop is going to be, if I'm not mistaken, it's scheduled to take place at Armiston. I raised this issue in the Portfolio Committee on Defence yesterday. Although I support the idea of a strategic workshop, I'm not convinced that this committee needs to travel to Armiston in order to have a strategic workshop. I'd like us to consider that, and I'd also like to know what the total budget for this workshop will be.
Yeah, that's a matter for logistics, so we are not married to a particular venue. Venues can be changed. That is not a problem. That's not a problem. But this strategic workshop, like I say, honorable members, it's something that will be able to assist the committee. And it's something that will be able to ensure that the program that we have adopted becomes much more strengthened. And also we align our program to the program of the portfolio committee. And that secondly, we are able to deal with the objectives now, the mission statement and the vision of the committee and all those things. So there's no problem. Those issues will be attended to. Now, anybody who wants to add anything on the strategic workshop program is free to consult the chairperson and myself. Thank you. I don't think there are any other issues, honorable members. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you. I can't know. 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 I can't know